Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, March 15th. A bipartisan bill aimed at cracking down on large-scale marijuana grows cleared the State House of Representatives on Monday. As Benta Berkland reports, supporters want to clamp down on the black market and out-of-state diversion of marijuana.
Right now, medical marijuana patients can grow up to 99 plants if a physician agrees. Recreational users can also have other people grow their plants for them. House Bill 1220 by Democratic House Majority Leader Casey Becker of Boulder would make it illegal to grow more than 16 plants at a residential property.
Law enforcement needs a bright line to be able to tell the difference between those who are growing legally and those who are growing in order to be able to divert to the black market.
Republican Representative Yulin Willett of Grand Junction is sponsoring a related bill that would give grants to local communities for education, law enforcement training, and prosecution costs.
Just in the last 2 years, Colorado Springs has seen a 2,000% increase in illegal grows. The West Slope has seen a tenfold increase.
But opponents like Democratic Representative Steve Lebsock of Thornton say limiting the number of plants would harm patients who need more to affordably make tinctures and concentrates.
We're going to throw patients in jail. We're not talking about drug cartels. Unbelievable.
Governor John Hickenlooper backs the bills and says allowing up to 99 plants for medical marijuana patients is far outside the norm and leads to a big loophole. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
In a follow-up to a story KVNF News reported in October, in a press release, the Montrose County Coroner on Monday identified the remains of a skeleton that was found in the Sawmill Mesa area west of Montrose. Hunters discovered the remains on Saturday, October 29th. The Montrose County Sheriff's Office and the Montrose County Coroner's Office of Medical Investigations recovered bones and fragments of clothing with the help of the Montrose County Sheriff's Posse. A forensic autopsy was performed by Dr. Michael Benziger at the Montrose Memorial Hospital Forensic Laboratory. The bones were considered consistent but not definitive as those of Jerry Hoop Reed, a 56-year-old male of Nucla. Reed was last seen in March of 2014 and was reported missing the following month. A forensic anthropological examination performed at the University of Northern Texas Human Identification Forensic Laboratory confirmed the identity of the remains. The cause of Reed's death is hypothermia due to exposure, and the manner of death is certified as accidental. The Colorado Department of Transportation announced in a press release that in order to keep Colorado roads safe from impaired drivers during St. Patrick's Day celebrations, CDOT, Colorado State Patrol, and local law enforcement agencies will conduct the Heat Is On DUI enforcement. The enforcement period started Friday, March 10th, and ends on Monday, March 20th. Statewide, 88 law enforcement agencies will participate in the DUI crackdown for alcohol and drugs. Last year, law enforcement agencies arrested 455 motorists during the St. Patrick's Day enforcement period, a nearly 10% decrease from the 505 arrests during 2015. In addition to the serious safety risks associated with impaired driving, a DUI can cost more than $13,500 after considering fines, legal fees, and increased insurance costs. Penalties increase for repeat offenders. A big gap remains in Colorado between kids who have the opportunity to participate in team sports and those who don't. Eric Galatis has this story.
Children from low-income families are more likely to miss out on playing organized sports than their wealthier peers, and the impacts can be far-reaching, according to a new report by the Colorado Trust. Shale Wong, a pediatrics professor at the University of Colorado School of Medicine, says sports can have a positive impact on a child's growth and development, but cost probably is the biggest barrier.
Sports are expensive. There can be equipment and uniforms, but you also have to have parents who can shuttle kids to and from practices, get them to games, and those can be really daunting for low-income families.
According to the Aspen Institute, in 2015, just over a third of children in the U.S. from homes earning $25,000 a year or less participated in team sports, but 67% of kids from homes with incomes of $100,000 or more played on teams. In addition to obvious health benefits, studies have shown playing sports improves school performance and graduation rates, promotes mental health, and reduces risky behaviors. Brandon Blue heads America Scores Denver, a program aimed at low-income kids that combines soccer and poetry.
The biggest thing is keeping them in a safe place after school. We actually hire teachers, and they become both our writing coaches and our soccer coaches. Being engaged after school in a team sport, it really gets them committed to their day-to-day schoolwork as well.
Efforts such as America Scores Denver have popped up across the state in recent years, but every one is at capacity and many have long waiting lists. Creative partnerships like the one in Alamosa, where the Boys and Girls Club teamed up with the city's Parks and Recreation Department to organize football and basketball leagues, are helping narrow the organized sports gap. And Aurora Public Schools fully funds middle and high school athletics, though most other public districts end up fundraising to field teams. Wong says investing in children pays off down the line and believes sports should be a right, not a privilege, for all children.
The emotional growth that kids can have, building relationships, learning confidence, I think even learning resilience, are profoundly important skills that are often built with team sports, and they really help to stay with them for life.
This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection. This story was originally reported by Alan Gottlieb for the Colorado Trust. Find out more at coloradotrust.org.
And finally today, a measure to make it easier for transgender individuals to change their gender on their birth certificates got its first round of approval in the House on Tuesday. Bensa Berkland has more.
House Bill 1122 is known as the Birth Certificate Modernization Act. If approved, it would no longer require people to get a court order to change their gender on a birth certificate. Democratic Representative Danaya Escar of Pueblo is the main sponsor.
Since we have been in session, 7 women have been killed in the U.S. for being who they are. This is an issue of security. This is an issue of safety. And this is an issue of privacy.
But Republican Representative Hugh McKean of Loveland says birth certificates should be more difficult to change compared to passports and social security cards.
In my world, the birth certificate is sacrosanct. It does not mean that this is who you are today. It means this is who you were the exact day that you were born.
The bill would require a written request as well as a letter from a medical professional stating that the person has gone through gender transition treatment. It's not expected to pass in the GOP-controlled Senate, where it has failed twice before. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.